Paralympian, wheelchair athlete, ambassador, and all-round top Aussie bloke, Kurt Fearnley. Welcome back to the studios, mate. Great to have you here.
Mate, always good to drop by.
Tomorrow in Sydney, you've got the GIO Oz Day 10K wheelchair race in the Rocks. 10Ks, that's a tough run. What, like a kind of on a wheelchair race, distance-wise, is that medium, short, or long distance?
Medium. For me, medium. The majority of my racing is done over 42K. I go down to about 1,500 on the track. But that 10K, it's an all-comers race for a road. So
okay. Now, I'm very familiar with the Rocks. I don't know if you are. A lot of hills. What toolbox decided to have the race there? Why couldn't you just do it on a flat?
It's the only wheelchair race in the world where it's just wheelchairs and they shut down the main streets. And if you shut down the main streets of Sydney, you get hills. Like when I was, so I grew up back in the bush when I saw this when I was about 13 years old. It was covered on ABC. My old man grabbed me, took me in, plonked me in front of the television, saw it for the first time, drove me down to Sydney the next year, watched it in live, watched these guys ripping down the hills. Up the hills looked like a bit of a struggle.
Yeah. It's not the downhill part I was talking about, Kurt.
The downhills, they were weapons and they're guys in chairs and made I met everyone that year. We found out how much of a family we are. I'm now going from a 22nd start and going for my 11th win.
Yeah, well, I did notice. We'll get to the stats in a second. Let's actually address them now. You're the defending champion. You won the race last year. You've pretty much dominated the race entirely since 2005. You've won it 10 times. Is this a race or is it just a lap of honour? Because it just feels like, is it just Kurt's day? Is it GIO just got Kurt's day and they go, oh, there's some other people arrived.
No, oh, gee, I wish, mate. I've been in a pretty good paddock for the last three months or since New York finished. And the downhills, I'm a downhill specialist at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
I'm carrying a few extra kilos.
Yeah.
There's 14 guys out here from Japan. They've towed me up all week on the track. I haven't got a win up yet.
Really?
Yeah.
So are you racing in the lead up to a race? Because I know a lot of athletes in any sport, you know, they often tend to back off competition before a big event.
Oh, mate, if I backed off competition at the moment, I'd end up there at record weight, This is a wake up call. This is a double espresso to start the season. I needed to get out there. There's a good field. There's a couple of Americans here, Canadians here, Koreans, Japan. Mate, I'll have to have a very, very good day tomorrow on Australia Day to win this one.
Mate, you've got the race starts at 9 a.m. The start and the finish line are, of course, on George Street around Circular Quay there. But of course, with the current roadworks on George Street, you've got to go via Punch Bowl and Dural. So it's actually a 94-kilometre event tomorrow.
Yeah, mate, I am the light rail. So anyone wants to lift along George Street tomorrow, they can catch me. 9 o'clock, I'll drop you the other side of Hickson Road.
There you go. Faster, cheaper, more reliable.
Exactly.
But, what do you do in preparation for tomorrow? Is there a race plan other than just rolling up and winning, which has been your current plan for 10 years?
For me, I back myself. You just try and calm down today. You try not to think too much. On the morning, year after year, the crowd on the side of the road is bigger and the crowd know my name. And that sort of stuff. I just know that when I'm on the start line, there's going to be a lot of people around. They're going to be yelling out for us and I'll turn up. And
so are you suggesting, Kurt, that Australians don't tend to know all 10 Japanese athletes that have come over to compete for this event and they don't go Yashika tomorrow?
Yeah. Hiroki Satsuhara and Kota Hokanui are pretty upset on the start line of that race.
Because they get there and there's just like everybody's just for Kurt and they're just going, this really is a lap of honour. We come from Japan for a lap of honour.
Look, you take everything you can get to get an inch on those fellas.
Mate, times for a 10K race like that, how long will it take you? What's a good kind of time?
I got the record for that race. I think it is 20 minutes and 19 seconds. My fastest time is 18:36. I know that because I was about 2 inches away from the world record.
I've seen
three world records take place in the marathon and in the 10K on the road, and I've been within the fuzzy nuts to cross first, but never cross first.
You need to just get a wheelchair that's just got a little bit, because you've had a couple of photo finishes. You just need to get a chair that's just got like a, I don't know, like a shovel, like a train shovel at the front.
An extender?
Yeah, yeah. And that's, you know, technically, so they go to a photo finish because you haven't had a lot of luck with those. And then you've always a nose in front, or actually just put a nose on the front of it. You borrowed mine. You win the race before you left.
A thicker tyre, mate. I'm up for all ideas. I'm not sure. A thicker coat of paint, Ethan. There's been some close races.
Australia Day, obviously, very special to every Australian. What do you do after a race? How do you celebrate it? What do you do with your family?
Has someone bloody G'd you up? They've told you.
No?
Oh, mate, the finish line is practically straight into the pub.
Is it? They open the doors.
Mate, the finish line goes directly in. They cone off from the finish line on George Street straight into the pub, and I'll see you there about 10 o'clock.
So get in there early.
At night.
Okay.
Mate, it's a stay up.
Okay, question. Technically, you're responsible and in charge of a vehicle. If you have too many, can you be charged with drink driving?
Believe it or not, yes.
No way!
So you can't. Well, you're just done for drunk and disorderly.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to jump on a bike. And it depends. Are you going down the footpath? Or are you kicking on the road?
No, you're on the road. Let's say you're out on the road. You're just crossing the road, though.
Okay.
But you are technically on a road.
Are you Olympic level drunk or are you rugby league level drunk?
I don't know which is worse. Where's that? Liam and I are trying to figure out. Hang on a second. They're two pretty high scales.
Well, one is probably a greater amount over a longer period of time. The Olympics, they're getting in there and having a go at the Olympics, but they're not quite the rugby league level.
But you know what? They say this a bit, you know, about fit people. They either go one way, like, you know, athletes at the highest level, either go one way or the other. Either they can just destroy the booze, like, you know, bottles of vodka, whatever they like, or they're two-pot screamers.
You've listened to their confidence. I haven't met an athlete that is an absolute destroyer of alcohol.
Really?
They're terrible.
What is it?
They're terrible.
Well, is it? That means that I'm clearly very unfit. I'm at the other end of the scale.
At the end of the day, wheelchair racing has actually changed a lot. And I jest a little bit. It used to literally be you'd travel around, like back in the 90s, I remember seeing wheelchair racing would finish in the pub and they'd stay there all day. And those guys were soldiers in the pub. Nowadays, it is toned down so much. You know, like the professionalism that came into the sport in general just, it ruined the party, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a thing, you know, for spectators of all sports, the levels have increased, the professionalism has increased, but, you know, some of the character is lost because now everybody's taking it bloody seriously.
Mate, there was a guy that used to just travel around and he used to smash himself in the race. He used to smash himself in the pub after. He was one of those, his name was Kenny Carnes. He was one of the most biggest.
Kenny Carnes. He was never not going to do
that. I was 17 years old at Oz Day and I said he's not allowed, he was drafting me the whole way. He was about 48 in the Masters, not in my category. And I said, Kenny, you can't draft me. I'm a junior. And he goes, shut up, keep pushing. I'm effing Santa Claus. Who gives a... And it was, you know, like it had these real solid, crazy characters.
Yes.
But my sport has turned into an absolute... It's a vacuum nowadays. But I do enjoy tomorrow. My entire family are down. The bush comes to the city.
Yep.
Wheelchairs own the rocks for...
It's great.
It's amazing. So I do usually take a moment and have a bit of a beer and a yarn with as many people as I can.
Mate, about a year ago, you were on Perpetual Loyal as part of the Sydney to Hobart race, won again this year. How did you feel watching it sail out this past Boxing Day? When you watch them go out past the heads.
Mate, I would have loved to have. Oh, well, part of you wants to be there. The other part is very grateful that you're never stepping foot inside a yacht again in your life. But, mate, that group, the way it worked out was sensational. And you could tell that the group was absolutely just in the zone to win that race. And
yeah.
He took a crew on that wasn't full of ring-ins like me, bloody mopping up the deck. It was the guys that were there to win that race. And to do it in the time that they did is unbelievable.
Did you have any contact with the guys afterwards? I mean, they would have been inundated with calls, you know, congratulating them.
Mate, I had a yarn congratulating and wishing I was with them. And, you know, they did, 20 hours less than what we did on the first time that the Loyal won the race. So, mate, it was, you know, it's good to see and good people involved doing a good thing.
Yeah, any hours you can cut off that part of the water, just to get it down.
Oh, mate.
Do you reckon we could do this in 20 hours less? Yeah, let's try. Mate, try.
That 58 hours on board we were.
Far out.
Middle 30, not for me.
No. Oh, wow. The middle 50 for me. Yeah. Mate, you are a Newcastle boy. And there's a little bit of controversy at the moment with Jared Mullen from Newcastle Knights. He's been testing positive to anabolic steroids. And I want to know, like, he's been provisionally suspended from the NRL. In your field of sport, in wheelchair racing, is steroids and drug cheating, is it a thing? Is it something that you guys, I mean, I'm sure there's testing, but is it a thing?
Mate, the entire Russian Paralympic Committee were banned from participating in Rio. Mm. There was indicators that their samples had been either seen to be positive or manipulated to be sure that they can't be retested.
Yep.
I have seen, from my particular event, seen two athletes be tested positive, one for steroids, another for EPO in the last 2 years. When we're talking about people who are the most marginalised all around the world, and there is a chance, not for millions of dollars, but for dollars. Like, there is a way for somebody to allow their family to live better.
Yeah.
Then
provide. It's provide. About providing.
100%.
Yeah.
It is. And where you're coming from a place where it's either life or not life,
yep.
risk it taken. And then I know the guys that have tested positive in my sport. I grew up with them. I know their families. And, mate, it's sad. Mullo's.
So people with disabilities who are competitive sports people, Kurt, is it kind of a lower act, or is it just the same as any other sport? You know, it's just as low. It's just as a dog act. But is there a sense that maybe it's a bit more of a dog act because of that? Because of the fact that, you know, you guys don't have millions of dollars worth of sponsorship. You have to work really, really hard just to be able to compete.
Yeah, no, it's all, you know, an arsehole in a wheelchair is an arsehole walking around. You know, it's all, I'm an equal playing field type of guy. And, and like these guys, that they're not that. I know them, and I've known them for a couple of decades, and they're lovely bloody guys.
So it's not about greed, is it? It's not about trying to, you know, secure million-dollar contracts. Or, you know, with some drug cheats, you see it can be to stay in a competition which will earn them, you know, a large amount of money, or to get to a level where they will become multi-millionaires. You're talking about guys who are just doing it because they just want to make a living.
They want to make a living. Or you know what? Some of it comes down to there are some pretty heavy mental health issues as well in some of these guys, and they are coming back from an injury. They're struggling to see the light out of a pretty dark place. Yep. And then they go to make a choice, and that choice is swayed by that position that they're in right now, and they can't see the light. They can't see that there's going to be a way to get back on the field. They can't see that they're going to make $20,000 for the year to pay their mortgage off. And then they see this thing in the corner, and they would, I'm sure that they would bloody wrestle with that for however long, and then they make that choice without making it on a clear mind, without making it on a healthy outlook. Like there are some guys where it is a culmination of just unhealthy places. How can you hate that bloke?
Yeah, I know. That's not something that occurred to me. I thought, you know, maybe it might be, you might take a more scornful approach to viewing them. But, you know, now that you kind of frame that, like it's different. It is different when you think that people are doing it to support their families.
Mate, when you're opposed to,
you know, it's not about based around greed or even ego.
When you see yourself as an athlete, and I'm not,
which I do, I'm unfortunately, it's actually a massive problem in my life.
You have judged yourself up against your competitors. You've judged yourself as your performance on the field. You are, a lot of people see themselves as just that. When that starts falling apart,
yep,
so does your self-image, your self-worth, your identity.
Yeah, yeah.
And you make some pretty bloody unhealthy choices. And
I reckon I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, man. Mate, it's a really tough spot, and we've got to be a bit gentle with how we talk about this sort of stuff as well. They're not villains.
No.
They're just people who find themselves in a bloody spot and make a pretty tight choice, and no, they've made that choice, and there's no coming back. They don't get back on the sport field. That's just what it is, but we don't need to drag them through bloody hell as well.
One of the things that I think appeals to a lot of Australians about you as an athlete, and just generally about our sports people, the things that we love, I reckon, is humility and gratitude. That's what we love to see in our athletes. You know, when at any level, the ones that are always the most appealing to, you know, Jobo public like myself, is the ones who seem humble and really grateful. Now, I think, possibly, do you think that might be the reason why there's been so much backlash against Nick Kyrgios? Because he's obviously, this kid's got talent.
Yeah.
He's, and it's not that he's completely without humility, but he doesn't seem grateful for the gift that he's got. Mate. You know, you're talking about a guy who can go out and make extraordinary amounts of money and says he doesn't want to be doing that when, you know, it's most people, it's only a dream to be given the opportunity.
I think that in some sports and some particular athletes, we've got a real publicity problem. We've got a real issue with where sport is being spoken about or how sport is being spoken about. The more that I see the likes of those conversations around Kyrgios and it's not the only place. No. The more I see that there's opportunity for the Paralympic movement, for my athletes, for the 14-year-old kid who grew up, you know, with one arm after a tractor accident, who learns how to run a 400 meters. Yeah. You know, that team, that Paralympic movement is so real, is so humble, is so grateful. It is that. Everything that you spoke about what Australians love about sport, I feel that my family and my movement, my Paralympic family really represent that. And that's why I feel like we need to just be yelling and screaming our stories more often. We need to be getting a bigger stage. We need to be the ones that are guiding our able-bodied peers because we've got something really special here. And I really want to see this thing continue over the next decade for those stories to get out there.
And it's funny, Kurt, you know, I think about this, you know, there's so much brand sponsorship and so many people who offer, you know, huge pecuniary rewards to athletes who do well in sports, right? But when you see a bank or one of the industry leaders in any kind of commerce, it supports Paralympians particularly and people who are in a field of sport which would sometimes not garner as much money. It actually, I think, connects more because they've got the opportunity. If you're a bank or something like that and you are GIO, good example, excellent example, right in front of me. You've got a financial institution who can make a decision about supporting one bloke who will get them lots of attention, will have their brand, will get their name out there, but probably is not deserving, or they make a commitment as a group to support a community more than just a greedy individual.
Well, when you see Sainsbury's out of the UK for London for the Paralympics, they were the major sponsor of the Paralympics. They got more positive retention from their customers or positive interaction and greater retention from their customers because of their support of Paralympic sport than what they did across every other sporting involvement that they went throughout that year.
Yep.
And we haven't, that's one thing that we haven't really got in Australia yet. We have made big changes with going to Seven this year, with going to free-to-air TV, TV or commercial TV. We did see some change, but, you know, I both look forward to the day and I dread the day that we get our spoiled athletes up there as well. Because at the moment we do that, have that humbleness. We do have that fire in people that have just ground their way out of severe hardship. And I want our athletes to be financially supported. I want us to be the front of every single paper and magazine in the country when it comes. But there is that, we can't lose who we are. And mate, banks, start looking into the Paralympics.
Absolutely.
But you know, athletes will be in their ear to make sure that we remember who we are.
Stop supporting, you know, tantrum pullers and bad attitude sports people. Having said that, I've probably just cost myself a sponsorship with Yonex. So that's got Kurt Fearnley, always a pleasure to have you in the studios, mate. Tomorrow you will be racing in the Oz Day 10K wheelchair event at the Rocks for GIO. Mate, thank you very much for coming in and have a chat and best of luck for tomorrow. And hopefully you won't be arrested for being drunk at 10 p.m. tomorrow night.
Never.
See how we go.
Never.